I'd like to talk about spirituality in relationship to psychotherapy in a little more depth than we've done in the past. Exactly how can we incorporate elements of the spiritual path that we may be on in a harmonious way with our psychological approach to working on ourselves? And are there elements of what we might normally think of as a spiritual approach that could be in conflict with psychotherapy and moving inwardly into our inner experience as it's recognized in the West in psychotherapeutic terms? I think what we should recognize right from the beginning is that when we're talking about spirituality, what we're really talking about is our particular concept of spirituality. And that concept is, of course, a very personal thing. And probably every single person who is on the path will have a different idea of what it actually means to bring themselves more and more into a spiritual realization. One of the things that I might say right now is that generally when we're talking about spirituality in the sense of higher consciousness work, we're not usually talking about religion in a traditional sense. We're talking about equating spirituality with raising our consciousness, with furthering our evolution as beings with much more potential than what we just see if we were to look out upon the material universe. We're talking about that aspect of the human condition, the ability to grow, to move more into a heart experience, a loving experience, more of a sharing experience, more the experience of oneness, the appreciation of the oneness between all people has actually been a central concept behind all of Eastern spiritual paths ever since the beginning. And they teach that as we go more and more into ourselves, we realize the connection that we have with other people, and we see ourselves in other people. We realize that we all are basically one. And so that kindness to another becomes kindness to ourselves. Helping another becomes helping ourselves. And when we reach the place where we actually see this and experience this, where it goes beyond speculative theory, is the point where we are actually moving into a very creative and joyful experience of our own existence. But how to get there is, of course, the question, and that's what we're all working towards. And as we work on the spiritual path, we get involved in various disciplines, doing various things that we think will help us in our evolution towards this kind of realization. But the problem comes in with, as I said before, our concept about what we think spirituality is, or even more specifically, that we have any concept at all about what spirituality is. Because the very existence of a concept in our mind that we think that we are working towards with whatever kind of discipline we are engaging in proves to be a limiting factor in our growth. Any kind of concept that we have is only a concept of the mind. And the mind, being very finite and being usually focused on our material and our basic emotional experience, doesn't really know anything besides, outside of, that kind of lower self experience. So when the mind tries to arrive at a concept of what a spiritual life will be like, it generally extrapolates its experience with the lower self and forms a concept based on that kind of experience, then what we normally do is think that if we hold this concept in our mind and work towards it using any one of a number of possible kinds of tools, such as affirmations, to move in this direction, that we will move towards becoming more spiritual as individuals. My experience and what I've learned from my teachers that was most important to me in terms of my own being on the path was that any concept that I have is going to be a limiting concept. It's going to be based on myself as I see myself now. It's not really going to be based on any kind of clear conception of what the future could be for us as individuals as we evolve, because we're not there yet. And so, of course, what we can do is to read books written by people who supposedly are spiritually enlightened, and they can give us some insight into what that consciousness could be like. We think that's one of the reasons why we read spiritual material. However, it seems very often that we still fall into the trap of coming across a spiritual concept and then grabbing onto it and then trying to make ourselves like that concept. And probably the most common concept is that we should be loving people. We should be a loving person. We should be kind. We should be sharing. We should recognize the oneness that we have, as I said before, and act accordingly. And when we experience emotions that don't coincide with this kind of so-called spiritual ideal, what we tend to do, even without realizing it, is judge those emotions and feelings. We decide that it's not spiritual to be fearful, or it's not spiritual to be selfish, or it's not spiritual to be a jealous person, or even an angry person. So we become very judgmental about these parts of ourselves in the name of spirituality. Somewhere we've gotten the idea that we have to be a loving person, a perfect person, that we have to have no aspects of the negative about us. So this is very important to understand, and actually the implications of this go much further than you may think at this point, just from an initial superficial kind of reaction to what I'm saying. These concepts about ourselves go very deeply. They almost go into the unconscious. And another way to look at it is that it's a sense of conditioning. We've been conditioned to avoid what we think of as the negative about ourselves, often doing it in the name of spirituality when it's become conditioned along with a sense of spirituality. Now, I work with many clients who are trying to work their way through the maze of spirituality and to find how they can integrate a sense of spirituality with a genuine sense of making progress on themselves. What generally happens, what I generally see as a therapist, a counselor, and also in the workshops that I run, is that clients will come to me because they're having emotional problems. And many times they've been on the path for a number of years, but they haven't learned how to deal with those emotional feelings and situations and reactions with the spiritual tools that they've been given. For example, you may be working with affirmations. That's a very common way to try to work with your experience. Something happens and you have a negative, unpleasant experience, and so you're taught to use affirmations to try to change this experience somehow. So what you're really aiming for, even though you may use affirmations to change your surroundings, there are many ways to use affirmations. You can use them to try to change your material surroundings or to try to change the interaction with people so that you may see only the best part of people, or you may try to use them to change your reactions. All of these cases, to me, are misapplications of affirmations, because what you're trying to do is basically change your emotional experience by changing something outside yourself, which could include the relationship outside yourself with another person, or you're trying to change your actual inner experience. You may use an affirmation to try to, if you're experiencing anger, you may try to affirm your loving side, your kindness. But what that does, it doesn't change the anger. It doesn't change the negative side. Those parts of yourself, the emotional parts of yourself, cannot be influenced by affirmations. This is really important to realize, because sometimes we think that affirmations can do anything, and we apply them to emotions where they're not really supposed to be used. Affirmations are supposed to be used to change conditioned patterns of behavior, not your emotional responses. So whenever you're using an affirmation to change the way you feel, it's wrong, and it's destined to only suppress that emotion and not really allow the emotion to clear. And I've worked with clients who have worked for many years using affirmations to try to change their emotional experience, and have been very dedicated and diligent about this, and feel like that they're on the edge of just complete collapse because they've not been able to achieve what they think they're supposed to achieve, what they've been conditioned into believing is the spiritual way. The way that they think they want to be. They want to be, as I said, they have these very high idealistic concepts about themselves as loving people, as faithful people, as people who are not going to experience all the negativity that most of us do. So this, to me, is an aspect of spirituality, or a level of spirituality, that we grow through. It's probably a necessary stage of the path. We get on the path, we become very idealistic, we think that we should be perfect people, perfect according to what our particular concept of perfect means, that we should never be hateful, fearful, jealous, never be failures. We should never exhibit any kind of negativity and just be able to move towards a completely positive experience. As we mature, we see that this concept that we've been holding of spirituality is possibly not the best concept. And we can also see that the concept itself has been limiting us. And this was my experience for many years, too. I was the exact same way. I was trying to move towards an ideal and trying to force myself into an ideal. Finally, I learned about what I call self-acceptance. And taking it even further, I learned about emotional self-acceptance. But the important thing is to recognize that we can move out of that particular stage of holding a spiritual ideal as a concept of being a perfect person, and then move into a more mature, or let's say just one step further, because we never know what's going to be the next point that we'll move into. But moving out of the idealistic stage of spirituality, moving into a sense of real spirituality, this is what it means for me now, Real spirituality means holding no concepts about myself and just seeing what is about myself, allowing whatever is to exist without any kind of censorship or editing or judgmentalism about myself. And trusting. See, there's still a sense of the higher power, although I tend to believe that the higher power and the higher self are within myself and not some kind of higher power outside myself. There's still a concept of the higher self to move towards, but it's different. The higher self now for me starts with the experience of witnessing and observing my experience without judgment, without trying to make it any different, without condemning myself in the name of a spiritual ideal. And if you're ready to move into that kind of framework, that kind of orientation for yourself, maybe you can just appreciate right now what a tremendous kind of freedom that can give you by just being able to accept all parts of yourself without criticism, without judgment, without blaming yourself. And this is what we have to do. We have to realize that our basic experience, and this is a fundamental concept of Eastern philosophy as well, our basic experience is dualistic, meaning positive and negative. And taking that to an emotional level, it means that we experience positive and negative emotions. We experience loneliness, and we experience togetherness. We experience love. We experience resentment. And what's important about this is that to realize is that we have this dualistic experience primarily when we are relating in a dependent way to objects and people outside of ourselves. When we transcend the dualistic emotional experience is when we go beyond being dependent and we achieve a level of individualization, independent of other people. Then we're no longer attached. We no longer have the same kind of dualistic swings in our emotional life. But if we fail to recognize that our emotional life is going to be composed of both positive and negative, we suppress the negative very often in the name of spirituality, as I've been discussing, and that suppressed aspect of ourselves keeps building and building until it becomes a very powerful, trapped energy within ourselves and then manifests in destructive, self-destructive behavior patterns and even illness eventually. So opening to ourselves emotionally and accepting ourselves emotionally means being able to open to that suppressed negativity and be able to clear it at this point, to take some steps towards clearing it. Whereas when we're locked into a rigid spiritual ideal, even if it's an ideal concerning always being a loving person, we don't even allow for the opportunity for negative feelings to clear because we're just pushing them under, we're suppressing them in the name of this spiritual idealistic concept. So if we can move into a self-acceptance for ourselves, recognize that we have to work with this energy that's locked within ourselves in some way, rather than just turning away from it or trying to push it down in the name of a spiritual concept, we're taking the first step into making it possible to work on ourselves and release the trapped negativity. The main process consists of four steps. The first step is awareness. It's coming into an awareness of the feeling and a realization that the feeling is trapped within, that the circumstances that you're encountering are only triggering your emotional experience, triggering the feelings that are held within. The second step is moving into a sense of acceptance of the emotion instead of being locked into the judgmentalism, the rejection, the pushing away of our emotional self as we've been conditioned to do, moving more and more into an acceptance of ourselves, dropping blame, dropping all the addictions to the best of our ability, putting addictive behavior behind to the best of our ability, things like food addictions, alcohol, drug addictions, any kind of activity that you immerse yourself in, including spiritual activity, so-called spiritual activity, anything that takes you out of your emotional self, I consider to be self-rejecting. You see, what we're describing now is a new kind of spirituality. I call it feeling-oriented spirituality, which means coming to the spiritual realization through the feelings, validating your feelings just as they are, not as you would like to have them be, not comparing them to any kind of spiritual ideal, but just accepting your emotional experience as it is. Now, an important part of that is to not act out on your feelings in terms of inflicting them on people or circumstances around you. That would be a mistake also. Even though we are accepting our emotional experience, we don't want to act it out, because what we're experiencing is the result of the suppressed negativity. And we don't want to act out as if people around us are to blame for that experience. It doesn't mean that we don't take steps to change our experience if necessary. It just means that we have some clarity here. We recognize that the feeling is coming from within, and that to just blindly strike out at our circumstances or at the people around us would be a misdirected attempt. After we've moved into acceptance, acceptance occurs on a mental level. We're then freer to move into the experience of the feeling. This is the third step, direct experience, which involves using breath work, using a kind of a meditative approach, entering alpha trance, which is really the best place to access and clear feelings, and allowing ourselves to have the experience of the feelings, but recognizing that our feelings are part of our lower self, and we are at our best, we are our higher selves. And this is the fourth step of processing, to shift our identity to our higher self, separating ourselves in a very gentle way from our emotional experience, just watching it happen without judgment, watching it from some different perspective, breaking the enmeshment that we normally experience with our emotions. Now, these are briefly the steps of emotional integration that will allow clearing of feelings to occur. And along with breath work and body work, we also do other things to learn to access feelings and to learn to help integrate feelings. Things like very specific postures, yoga postures, things like learning to be with our feelings in a very calm way, learning to develop that calm center, just being with our feelings, recognizing that we have to be with our feelings, we have to experience our feelings in order to allow the clearing to occur. The feelings never cleared originally, sometime in the past, because they were suppressed, they were never experienced. And that's what we have to do now, is just move into a sense of experiencing them from this place of the witness in order to allow a clearing to occur. I'd like you to, if you're interested, just take a look at the concepts that you hold about yourself and about the ideals that you hold concerning yourself, and try to decide, are these ideals helping you move in the direction you want, or are they hindering you from really knowing who you are and from exploring and accepting who you are? And I would urge you to always move in the direction of accepting, without judgment, all parts of yourself.